take my text from the gospel for this Rogation Sunday, commonly called Rogation Sunday. Our Lord is speaking in the 16th chapter of the gospel according to St. John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is your patronal festival. It is my first visit as Vicar General and kind of a codicil to Father Clark's introduction. I think if I had to pick a parish that I would be the most comfortable in doing my first visitation, it would be this one. Father Clark and I are friends, and I've seen Father Clark go through some difficult times, some times of difficulty serving the church, and he has persisted, as have you all, many of whom I know. So it is good to be here. Before I really launch into things, the diocese has had vicar generals before, but they have been in somewhat different capacities. The vicar simply means representative, and I am a representative of our Bishop Donald LaRoe. That's whose vicar I am. General implies that my appointment is general through his diocese. It is possible for the bishop to appoint any given priest of his diocese, or really, I'm not sure about this, I need to look at the canons, possibly even a layman, to do an official visitation of a parish, but I have general permission to do so within the diocese. My duties are defined by my boss, our bishop, and they really boil down to two. Number one is assisting him in visitations to parishes of the diocese. The way that's going to work is we will have a schedule. The requirement on the bishop by canon is that the bishop will visit every parish in his diocese once every 3 years. That is his canonical duty. We're used to seeing a bishop every year, but his only requirement is to be with us every 3 years. And Bishop LaRoe, particularly being fairly new, would like to set every 2 years. He wants to be in every parish in his diocese every 2 years. I will cover the visitations, the yearly visitations. We're also permitted to visit you without your priest having to give permission once a year. This is it. If we ask to visit you and there's something you don't want us to see, you've got till January 1st. We have our only canonical right. There are certain rights and privileges of rectors of parishes and of parishes. And that's one, is we get one visit, which we tell you, and after that we need your permission. So this one is the official visit. Bishops of this diocese, since I've been in it, have always been parish priests. And if you're a parish priest, think about it. How are you going to visit on a Sunday? We've moved now to a system of visiting on Sundays, but I can remember that when Bishop Rutherford and Bishop Cahan would often schedule visits weekday nights. Guess what? We're aging, and a lot of our movers and shakers no longer drive to their parish churches at night. So we have kind of gotten off those weekday visitations. We're moving to a more of a Sunday visitation, but that's putting that puts a squeeze on a bishop who's a parish priest. So the way it works is when he's doing a visitation, I'm probably covering his parish. In the diocese, we've got some diocesan financial people here. I'm that assistant to the bishop slot financially. It happens I'm filling it as vicar general. So the first thing I do is help him with visitations. And if you have people to be confirmed or received, no matter what the schedule says, we swap I go to St. Barbara's and he comes to that parish. So there is a perturbation in the system. He wishes to, technically I could receive people, I cannot confirm, but and he wants to either receive or confirm everyone in coming into his diocese. What you say by what we save the diocese by having me here is my commute round trip is 3 hours. If the bishop were here and I was at St. Barbara's, the total time occupied by the bishop and I, which ultimately you have to pay for, it's part of the diocese, is about 26 hours. So there is a significant saving on wear and tear of your clergy and help for the bishop. So everyone clear on that part. The other part of the vicar general is, and also my appointment is for 2 years. It's not like an archdeacon where that's a slot that's typically served till you resign. My duty is for 2 years. That is my contract. I'm kind of under contract. Second piece is I'm supposed to put in order the ordination process of the diocese, which has kind of fallen into a bit of disarray. So I will be working on that. Those are my two areas of responsibility. The archdeacon of the diocese, I am not in any way a replacement for the archdeacon. We work very well together, Father Tom McHenry, and he will continue to perform his duties. Sermon is going to end up, it's Rogation Sunday. Rogation means rogare, in Latin means to ask or to pray. Rogation means prayer Sunday. Traditionally in the English system, the early American system, we would beat the bounds of the parish. We would sing the litany while we went in procession around the parish boundaries, not merely the boundaries of the parish, but most of the farms and landholdings in the parish. And if there had been border disputes, I guarantee you we would have beaten those bounds. That's something that happens on this Rogation Sunday. Why is it Rogation Sunday? It's really practical. This is almost humorously practical. This is the Sunday before the Feast of the Ascension. The Ascension is when our Lord gets on that heavenly elevator and ascends into heaven, crowning him with many crowns, all those wonderful Methodist hymns. There he will take his seat at the right hand of God and will be our intermediary in our prayers. Well, what better time to load him up with petitions than right before he's fixing to blast off? it's that simple. That's why this is Rogation Sunday. He is getting ready to go into heaven. Let's give him a couple of notes, sticky notes to take with him. And that's the basic thinking. But it's a good time to pray. It is a time when we are remembering when the heavens opened to receive our blessed Lord and Savior, and who will be our only mediator and advocate from that time. So, in 1964, the second Sunday in Advent, after Mass, that parish did not like to clutter up the Mass with things like baptisms, I made these promises. Dost thou renounce the devil and all his works, the vain pomp and glory of the world, with all covetous desires of the same, and the sinful desires of the flesh, so that thou wilt not follow nor be led by them? I said, I renounce them all, and by God's help will endeavor not to follow nor be led by them. As did you, even if you weren't baptized in the Anglican Church, as simply as a member of the Anglican Catholic Church, we're assuming you're under these same vows. Next vow. Dost thou believe in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God? I do. Third vow, probably the most important for my purposes today. Dost thou accept him and desire to follow him as thy Savior? That's a passive thing. And Lord. That means he's my boss. I said, I do. Finally, dost thou believe all the articles of the Christian faith as contained in the Apostles' Creed? I said, I do. That was 1964. In Atlanta, Georgia, Church of Our Savior, a couple blocks away from St. Hilda's Anglican Catholic, where St. Hilda's Anglican Catholic Church happens to be. Those of you who are know some of the narrative can lay that one out. 4 years later, 1968, August 29th, not in Atlanta, Georgia, this time at Jacksonville, Florida, Naval Air Station, I made this oath. I, Sam Marshall Catlin, Jr., do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. It is Memorial Day, and we're thinking of people who died underneath that oath. So I'd like to use that oath as a way of looking at our common oath as Christians. First point, most important, I did not swear allegiance to the President of the United States as Commander-in-Chief. That was not my first oath. The Armed Forces of the United States of America are a revolutionary body, just like the People's Army of China, or whatever their official name is. The oath of each officer and enlisted man, my oath was enlisted, is to the Constitution, first, and against all enemies of the Constitution, domestic and foreign, even if that enemy is the President of the United States. Secondarily, that's the vow. There is an appended vow which is qualified, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the officers appointed over me in accordance with the Uniform Code of Military Justice and, of course, the Constitution. So there's some priorities here. The fundamental oath is to the Constitution of this Republic. The secondary part of the oath is to follow the lawful orders of those in authority over me. Likewise, our own oaths as baptized Christians. I promise to follow Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I do. There is kind of a codicil appended to it. In Dost Thou Accept All the Articles of the Christian Faith as contained in the Apostles' Creed? And the Apostles' Creed talks about the Holy Catholic Church. And the Holy Catholic Church has her own structures and systems. Specifically, at least the way the prayer book has it in the Offices of Instruction, what is your bounden duty as a member of the Church? My bounden duty is to follow Christ. Priority number one. To worship God every Sunday in His Church, and to work and pray and give for the spread of His Kingdom. Ultimately, our allegiance is to Jesus, the Christ, the Lord and Savior. It is possible, theoretically at least, that the requirements of the Church, or at least not the Holy Catholic Church seen from God's point of view, but at least the Church in this sinful world as we, you know, bang our way through life as best we can, it is quite possible, theoretically, that the Church would ask of you something, an allegiance or a practice or something that you think violates your allegiance to Jesus. That decision's already made. It's made in your vows. You follow Jesus. Be very careful, though, and be aware that as the Church can err, and maybe does so, and maybe you have to stand up to that and revert to your primary vow, so also you can be deluded in thinking that Jesus is on your side. And part of the purpose of the Church is to give you rational, sane, godly feedback. That system doesn't always work, but that's the way it's supposed to work. My allegiance is a priest. Father Clark's allegiance is a priest. All of our allegiances are primarily to the Lord Jesus. If we were completely guided by the Holy Ghost, it would be no problem. The church would function. Our canons would all be godly. Our practices would all be holy and godly. We would be sober and righteous and all that other good stuff. But it doesn't always work that way. The core vow, military personnel need to always remember, is to the Constitution, not to the guy who happens to be there that term. And our core vow is to the Lord Jesus, not to the administrators who happen to be serving in his church at that time. Okay, everybody fine with that? Our duty, once again, secondary duty. First is bounding duty to follow Christ. Then the second is to worship God every Sunday in his church, and to work and pray and give for the spread of his kingdom. It is Rogation Sunday. It is a Sunday for prayer, and we traditionally pray the service called the Rogation or the Litany. Will you please turn to page 54 of the Book of Common Prayer? I'm not going to do the whole litany. I'm just going to do portions of it appropriate for Memorial Day. And we will conclude with a prayer for those who have given their lives in the service of our country. Let us pray for ourselves, for that we might be given strength to honor the oaths and commitments that we made, that we might worthily and honorably follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray and commend into God's hands those who have given their lives in the service of our country. The litany's on page 54. Please kneel.
O God, the Father, creator of heaven and earth,
have mercy upon us.
O God, the Son, redeemer of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O God, the Holy Ghost, sanctifier of the faithful,
have mercy upon us.
O holy and blessed and glorious Trinity, one God,
have mercy upon us.
Remember not, Lord, our offenses, nor the offenses of our forefathers, neither take thou vengeance of our sins. Spare us, good Lord, spare thy people, whom thou hast redeemed with thy most precious blood. And be not angry with us forever.
Spare us, good Lord,
from all evil and mischief, from sin, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from thy wrath and from everlasting damnation.
Good Lord, deliver us
from all blindness of heart, from pride, vainglory, and hypocrisy, from envy, hatred, and malice, and all uncharitableness.
Good Lord, deliver us
from all inordinate and sinful affections, and from all the deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Good Lord, deliver us
from lightning and tempest, from earthquake, fire, and flood, from plague, pestilence, and famine, from battle and murder, and from sudden death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
For our country, from all sedition, privy conspiracy, and rebellion, from all false doctrine, heresy, and schism, from hardness of heart and contempt of thy word and commandment.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity and circumcision, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By thine agony and bloody sweat, by thy cross and passion, by thy precious death and burial, by thy glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Ghost.
Good Lord, deliver us.
In all time of our tribulation, all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment.
Good Lord, deliver us.
We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord. We sinners do beseech thee to hear us, O Lord God, and it may please thee to rule and govern thy holy church universal in the right way.
We beseech thee to hear us, O Lord.
that it may please thee so to rule the hearts of thy servants, the President of these United States, the Congressmen of this nation, that they may above all things seek thy honor and glory.
We beseech thee to hear us to the Lord.
That it may please thee to bless and preserve all Christian rulers and magistrates, giving them grace to execute justice and to maintain truth.
We beseech thee to hear us to the Lord.
That it may please thee to bless and preserve the armed forces of our country, that they may honor the oath which they have made.
We beseech thee to hear us to the Lord.
Let us pray, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in whose hands are the living and the dead. We give thee thanks for all those thy servants who have laid down their lives in the service of our country. Grant to them thy mercy in the light of thy presence, that the good work which thou hast begun in them may be perfected. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord.
Amen.